Welcome, everybody, to The Lonely TARDIS, your journey through space and Time Lords, where four companions get together every week to discuss the latest Doctor Who news, episodes, and gear, and gadgets, and gizmos, and merchandising, and marketing, and tearjerkers, which we will get to this week. You can find us on LonelyTARDIS.com. This website is hosted all over the place. And that's basically it. I'm Dolly Domofsky. Joining me, as usual, Sean Norton.
Hello.
Steven Strum.
Hi.
And Marcus Beer.
Hello.
Gentlemen, how are you?
I am sad.
Oh, no. It's going to be one of those episodes. Yes, we have quite a bit to talk about this week. It all revolves around this latest episode, Face the Raven. And I really do think we should just jump right into it. Before we jump right into it, quick acknowledgement. This episode will go up today, the day before Thanksgiving. So you have some awesome, or Thanksgiving in the U.S., you'll have some awesome listening around the Thanksgiving table. And we do hope that you mention Lonely TARDIS to all your wonderful relatives and family.
I expect nothing less than everybody to be listening to this story during Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So how's that turkey, young Brian? Are you eating your cranberries, little Jill? Okay, I think that covers everybody.
I get this image of like the Norm MacDonald Colonel Sanders commercials with like Dally just going to somebody else's Thanksgiving. It's like, hey, hello, it's me, your grandmother, here to tell you about the Lonely TARDIS. You listen to the weekend update.
It's happy Thanksgiving, but not a happy Whovian universe, as we've lost Clara Oswald. Maybe. We'll get into that. This week's episode was Face the Raven, the 10th episode of Season 9. Here is the blurb. The Doctor and Clara with their old friend Rigsy, which you might remember from Flatline, I believe it was last year, find themselves in a magical alien world, hidden on a street in the heart of London. Sheltered within are some of the most fearsome creatures of the universe. And a shielder, Maisie Williams, is back. With a death sentence hanging over their heads, not all of the intruders will get out alive. So the episode opens on Rigsy with a death sentence, which is his tattoo that's been somehow attached to the back of his neck. And he calls the Doctor to find out how to get rid of it and what the dealio is. And the plot spins out of control from that point forward. So we knew right away, let's get the elephant out of the room. Right away, everybody knew going into this episode that it was Clara's supposedly last episode. BBC made a big deal about it. Capaldi, Moffat, everybody was talking about it. Interviews, General Coleman was talking about it. This was the last episode for Clara. And I think many of us thought it would be the end of the season that we would have her episode, her finale. But so they dropped it on us a couple weeks before that. So I want to get your initial thoughts on all this. And feel free to jump in, any of you, on this episode. It's kind of a momentous episode. It's 2.5 years, 3 years in the making, I think it was. Maybe at least, right? She's been a part of Doctor Who for 3 years now.
Yeah, going back to Smith.
What that actually means, like, numerically, because of all the weird hiatuses and things we've had in the center, like...
Well, three seasons. She's been part of Doctor Who for three seasons.
50th anniversary and all that stuff, too.
Yeah, I'm not saying that she hasn't been around for a while. I'm just saying it's all kind of muddled around and squishy just because of the way that things have been kind of shown. Like, I feel like we never really got, like, a full, just, like, straight shot of Clara. Like, it was always just, like, here's half a season, and then here's the Christmas special, and then here's the 50th, and, you know, we're gone for a year and a half, and then here's another season, and, yeah, it was kind of a up and down. It was rocky.
Steve, she's been around for a while. I don't know why you're arguing.
I'm not saying that she hasn't been. I literally started that by saying that I'm not saying she hasn't been around for a while. I'm just pointing out.
Can you guys figure out why Steve is arguing so much about this? I don't.
You're the worst.
I think he's just happy to see her gone.
Yeah, that might be it.
Yeah, so the whole premise of this episode was that Rigsy has this death sentence that a shielder placed on him. And spoilers, obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you know spoilers are a part of what we do. A shielder placed this tattoo, this countdown tattoo to his death, which is a shade, actually. It's not a real tattoo. So that she could draw the doctor to this trap street, I think is what it's called. And the whole reason was...
AKA Diagon Alley.
What's that?
AKA Diagon Alley.
Yeah. And the reason being is she had signed some deal with someone who, forced her hand to get the doctor and put this kind of teleportation wristband on him and zip him away somewhere, which I'm assuming we'll find out next week. So, Clara, in all her majesty, thinks, "Oh, you know, Rigsy, don't worry, we'll figure this out. Here, let me handle that countdown tattoo for you. I'll just put it on me, and we'll kind of take care of it later." And lo and behold, they don't take care of it later, and Clara faces the Raven, meets her end, and collapses in the street outside of a shielder's lair, or her chamber. And that's how the episode ends. Of course, also with the doctor saying that he's essentially going to pulverize a shielder if she ever gets in his way again.
Oh, man.
That was an angry doctor, an angry Capaldi. So, yeah, thoughts. Okay, so I want to start with Sean. Sean, what were your thoughts? Because a lot of us were tweeting back and forth, and we got we have a ton of probably the most feedback we've ever gotten about an episode of Doctor Who.
I believe it.
We got it for this past week. So, yeah, I want to start with you. And the reason I want to start with you is because – so I brought up that I maybe had some different viewpoints than everybody else. And you alluded to some of the points from last week or the episode last week that was pretty bad and how this was kind of a 180 from that. So tell me your thoughts about this episode, and we'll all just start chiming in and go into chaos.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have to keep talking the whole time. I think it'd be cool, especially on this one, to have more of a back and forth as we all talk.
Sure.
But, you know, it's funny in this kind of the way they promote the show now, and this kind of, I don't want to say spoiler culture, but like you were saying, you know, they told us it was happening somehow. They told us pretty much when. And, you know, there really wasn't a surprise element to it, unless, of course, people were able to kind of stay off, you know, the grid and not really pay attention to any of the promotional materials or Capaldi and Moffat and all those people talking about it. So even knowing it was coming and even feeling that her time was past due, because, you know, it's not that I dislike the character, but I just feel like she really hasn't served much of a purpose narratively in a while, you know, and I think we've talked about that back and forth. And, you know, while she's kind of way better off than she was when she was first introduced, obviously as sort of like this plot device to get everybody to the 50th, at the same time, enough has happened that I don't really, you know, I feel like she had run her course. And even saying that, mm-hmm. and knowing what was coming in some capacity, I still got socked in the feels. Hmm. I thought it was really well done. I thought it was a brilliant, in a way, like kind of full circle arc for her. You know, as this character who was afraid in the beginning when she was running around with Smith or even Capaldi, and you know, to evolve from that to this kind of, you know, independent woman, and then meeting Danny Pink, who then, of course, meant his demise, and we've kind of been watching her sort of deal with that, even though they never really talk about it, except for references here and there, to this kind of crazy, like, thinks she's invincible because she's friends with the doctor, sort of like just wild companion that clearly just felt flawless and thought that she or her buddy could talk, you know, mm-hmm. themselves out of anything, and then meeting her end because she was way overconfident, didn't think things through, thought she was way more clever than she was, and didn't realize that the doctor sure does get lucky a lot. I thought it was great, you know, and those last 15 minutes took a pretty – I thought it was a decent to good episode, but, again, the last 10 to 15 minutes when everybody starts realizing what's going on and you see Capaldi just starting to lose his mind and shades of the War Doctor or the, you know, Time War Triumphant or whatever. I loved it. I thought it was great. Especially, again, as somebody who knew it was coming and didn't really mind that she was leaving, that the interplay between her and the Doctor, these friends, this acceptance of what was happening and the anger over it and everything else, like, I am a big fan. I'm a big fan of how it was done, and assuming they don't do some sort of cop-out and she's alive somewhere else or is brought back to life, I think it's great. And I don't remember the last time we had a companion really die on the show. You know, Amy and Rory get kind of, you know, time-locked back and whatever, and Rose gets trapped in a mirror universe, but she gets sort of the clone of the Doctor.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. Like, this is, like, the first real-ass companion death. I mean, unless you count Jack, who came back to life, like, seconds later anyway, so, eh.
I mean, Donna's was super sad, you know, and I think hers still tops the list in terms of the saddest.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of a death that assumedly sticks, like a legitimate companion death, I don't even remember. I mean, Marcus, when was the last time, you know, a companion straight up ate it? I mean, Adric?
Adric, right? Yeah.
Adric is probably the last one that I can remember back in the Peter Davidson days.
I Googled this at one point, and I think it was Adric, yeah.
I mean, you know, Danny Pink, kinda. You know,
yeah, he did sort of become a companion towards the end of that season.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. I mean, like, not to, like, fetishize, like, the idea, like, narratively of death as being the most important thing or anything like that, because, like, Donna Noble's exit is still, I agree with you, Sean, like, the most tragic of the bunch. I think sure. It was more tragic for the fact that she didn't actually die.
Yeah, I agree with you, Stephen. And
I'm in full agreement there. Yeah.
I agree with you, Sean, that this is a decent to good episode. I didn't get I don't think I got the feels that you did. I wasn't shedding any tears. And I think the reason I love her exposition. I loved the buildup of, hey, I think even earlier in the episode, she spoke to Rigsy when she was going to take take the shade or the Raven countdown from him. She said, oh, don't worry about it. Just take a risk. It's fine. We'll have this all figured out. We always have this figured out. So I thought that was a good way, a good lead up into what ended up happening at the very end. Because she was very – she became reckless. She became this youth who kind of considered herself almost as powerful as the Doctor. You know, she thinks she's
right.
She's obviously been important throughout his entire life. She's molded the Doctor into what he is today, every single incarnation of him, to be exact. And so she's had this profound effect on him, and she's involved in a timeline, and she's essentially a Doctor in a way. And we even thought that that first season of Capaldi last year, that she was more of a Doctor than he was, because her confidence level was so high up there throughout those several of those episodes that she acted like Matt Smith in his prime. And so to kind of see the Doctor now catch up to her and surpass her, or suppose, you know, in a way, and her get much more reckless, I thought it was a fitting way to end it, to say, hey, you know, you've lived the life of this adventurer, Clara, but you did not see the effects of what you were doing. You know, you were just kind of always running forward at top speed and hoping that everything would get solved, but you weren't looking backward. And obviously she lost Danny Pink last year, and I don't know how they're going to address the Danny Pink relative of the future, but so I got that part, and I felt that was all played really well. But the ending, her ending was very abrupt. And yes, we knew this was coming, but the way it happened at the end, it's the entire episode stopped and became about her death instead of about figuring out what a Shielder's plot was and so forth. And so when we do get her final scene facing the Raven, where everybody else runs from the Raven, she faces it. She says, okay, I've done it. I realize now what I've been doing over these last few years or decades, whatever, with the Doctor. And it's time for me to, face those consequences. And the Raven is sort of those consequences. And then she just kind of collapses, and the doctor looks over her and then leaves her in the street and walks back into a Shielder's lair and yells at a Shielder. If that was my friend outside, I would have run over, held her, cried out in some way. I just felt that I didn't get the impact because of that. He just kind of leaves her body out in the middle of the street, supposedly leaves her body out in the middle of the street. I still think, and I'll get to this later on, I still think there's some shenanigans, but
maybe
it felt awkward. It wasn't finite, I guess. Does that make sense?
Well, it is. Yeah, I could see that. And
it may be Moffat doing his thing, but
maybe. I mean, it is the first part of a three-part finale, right?
Sure. Yep.
So I'm sure we're going to see her again in some capacity. I hope not alive, but whether or not she's an echo or a memory or something else.
One thing I do want to say, sorry to cut you off. So we now know last week's episode had a little bit of purpose. It was a lead-in, kind of almost a prologue to this one, in that I think there was a statement at the very end where the doctor and that the scientist are talking about death, right? And this is basically saying, no matter what, death will always find you. You can't run from death. And so this episode essentially was that personified. She can no longer run from death because she's not immortal. The doctor kind of treated her as immortal. She treated herself as immortal, but she was still very much human. So I thought that at least tied in thematically to the previous episode. Even the previous episode is still a load of garbage, but I think that tie was – there was some thread of a theme there. I'll stop rambling.
No, I think to your point about him –
I'll hang up and listen.
To your point about him walking back inside, I mean, he did have the teleport on his wrist, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
he kind of was left without much of a choice.
He couldn't – he knew whatever was going to happen was about to happen. So I saw it more as there was nothing he could do for her. Riggsy was still there. So, you know, I assume he has confidence she's not going to just be left in the street, you know, Mayor Me being the whole, like, none of this was supposed to happen. It was all an elaborate ploy. Ha ha ha. So I don't think he necessarily feels like she's just going to be left behind. Or maybe he plans to go back to the minute after he leaves, you know, and take care of it that way. But I also kind of interpreted it as more as he accepted wherever he was about to be shot to next, but also the rage and the fury and the sadness and everything else he had to be feeling was probably so overwhelming that he wanted to make his point to the Shielder / Mayor Me / whatever her name is, you know, and so that he's keeping Clara's promise not for himself but for her, and that whole threat and Dark Doctor stuff, that to me, he wanted to make that point because he knew he was going to be whisked away at any second. So I don't necessarily see it as abandoning her, but to the point of the sudden stop, I kind of appreciate it. You know, I've seen some feedback about how, like, oh, it was just, like, out of nowhere, and there was no this, that, whatever. And I kind of get the impression certain people wanted more of, like, a traditional either companion or heroic kind of television death, whether or not that's, you know, in a giant battle or saving the whole planet or whatever. But what I particularly enjoyed about this was that it was sudden, right? Like, this was this was the fault of hubris and of an overconfident human being who at no point listened to her friend who was warning her she was getting more and more out of control. Mm-hmm. At no point, like you said, stop to look back or to stop and think about what was happening and why and how bad it was getting, and got cocky and paid for it. And, you know, sometimes that happens in life. Sometimes, you know, you don't get to go out in the way you'd envision it as a, you know, whatever, a hero or a blaze of glory. Sometimes your time is up and it's a random thing and you can't stop and you can't control it. And sometimes you don't even see it coming. So I actually applaud this particular plot payoff because knowing that her send-off was coming this whole time, I was a little worried it would be more contrived and more, I guess, Moffat-y. And I just like – I like the execution of this. I like that she screwed up, she owned it, and she paid for it. And that's it. Assuming that's it. I mean, I reserve the right to change my opinions on this. Because it's funny. Like, it hit me – and knowing she's leaving, it actually hit me, and I didn't even think about it until I started reading and hearing, you know, talking to you guys or whatever, that this might be some sort of, you know, timey-wimey thing, or she might come back, or she might do it. And that would suck. That would just suck. It would undermine something that they've done pretty well, and that would bum me out.
You know, we all were hoping that the was it the Christmas episode last year that or one of those final episodes where the she was aging over time.
Christmas one, yep.
Was the Christmas one? Yeah, I thought that would have been perfect. You know, it was a strong ending. We were all bummed out that that's not how it ended, because it was sort of her story is done, and she goes off into the night on a horse with no name, and we forget about her, we move on. And this was sudden, and I do like that the ramifications of her being reckless are, you know, end up in her death. But I also think it's not just her fault. I think it's as much the doctor's fault as it is her fault, because you know the doctor could have very easily made her immortal, right? He gave a shielder one of the chips or whatever, and he gave her a second one actually to give to whoever she needed. The doctor could have given that to Clara if need be, but he chose not to. And the doctor was reckless, and he kept getting more and more reckless. And I think the doctor kind of forgot that she was just a human. It kind of does sum up the doctor in general, right? He takes these people,
sure,
rips them up out of their homes, out of their very basic human lives, and whisks them away to alien planets, something that is not only is it a culture shock, it's a physical shock, right? They're out in space now. Their bodies are reacting differently. Their minds are reacting differently. They're getting the chemical imbalances are going to start to take place. I mean, that's human nature. And I think that, not that Clara has a chemical imbalance or anything, but I think that this is it's a good summation of how he's been doing this for so long that he forgets that we are humans sometimes. You know, he started last season thinking we were just humans, and I think at this point in this season he had forgotten that we were just humans.
Yeah. It makes sense, and it's a narrative arc that they've been playing with for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the very end of the Tennant era, where you know Davros comes in and points out the Children of Time and how the Doctor winds up turning everybody into warriors. And yeah, then, you know, when Moffat brought Rory and Amy in, and Rory's speech to the Doctor actually could be looked at as a sort of prequel to the payoff for Clara, right?
Sure.
When you know, what's dangerous about you isn't that you take people or whatever, but it's like you have no idea the impact you have on people. Mm. And you have no idea what happens as these people all try to strive to please you, mm-hmm, and what people sort of become around you and what they become of themselves. And so, you know, factoring all that in, it's obviously that, you know, they've been doing this thematic stuff for a while now. And then, of course, directly on Clara's arc from, you know, what she started as to what, you know, up to Danny Pink. And now it's just it's really logical payoff, you know, thematically. And I appreciate that. I know they don't always kind of succeed with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I find this to be a very satisfying conclusion to Clara's arc, given the way that they've been, you know, building this up for the last year and a half.
So, Stephen and Marcus, you guys have been quiet, and I want to hear from you. I don't want Sean and I to dominate this conversation.
Sorry.
I'm curious to see what you guys are thinking.
Stephen, you can go first.
Okay, I was going to say you guys have nothing to be sorry about. I mean, like, a lot of it was just that you were saying a lot of the stuff that I mean, it's very obvious. Like, I mean, the whole episode was kind of just obvious for better and for worse. Like, the way that they had been sort of telegraphing Clara's eventual demise, like, this is definitely one way they could have taken it. We've talked several times about the whole idea of the hybrid, which they have yet to get around to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's still to, you know, happen. And, you know, that is kind of one of the possible ways that they could have taken with Clara, but instead they wrote this idea of, like, she's just going to die because she makes a stupid mistake, because she thinks that she's, like, the Doctor. And I don't know. I both like and dislike that. I like the idea, like Sean said, of, like, just the idea of a character just kind of getting taken out by no, like, noble sacrifice necessarily. I mean, mm-hmm, the sacrifice is incidental here because it wasn't intentional. You know, they fucked up, and there you go. And we lost Clara because of it. It's just weird to me because, like, they had been telegraphing it so obviously this season, so it was obviously, even right, without the people saying, like, hey, we're going to kill off Clara and we're going to get a new companion soon. Like, it was obvious that it would be coming. And it felt that part felt a little cheap to me because it was like, if this had happened last season and Clara had actually died last season, I think it would have made much more sense because last season was the season where Clara was taking over for the Doctor, because the Doctor was so, you know, muddied and didn't know what he was doing and out of his head and everything like that, and Clara had to be his, like, guardian, and, you know, the whole idea of, like, the Clara was his, like his guardian, basically, was very much more last season. And then this season, it's just like, okay, we need, like, the Doctor's finally found his voice, you know, Capaldi's finally found a character arc, you know, what you feel about that character is one thing or another, but it comes across like, okay, your narrative convenience is no longer required, so we're going to shuffle you off and pick up somebody new. That said, I still thought the episode as a whole was, you know, fair, like, if you ignore the kind of weird external stuff, I think it was a fine episode. I really, really, really liked the idea of this Neil Gaiman-y London below nowhere type thing. Yeah, right? Like, this alien refugees undercity kind of thing was very cool to me. You know, more playing with the idea of, like, chameleon circuits and things like that.
Was it the light bulbs had the worms in them? Is that what they said? They were like,
yeah, the brain worms or whatever from whatever episode that was. What the hell episode was that? The Time Heist?
Time Heist, yeah.
You know, and I always actually love to see these ideas from one episode of Doctor Who brought back later on and stuff like that. It's actually one of my bigger pet peeves with Doctor Who is that they just treat a lot of their villains and a lot of their inventions as disposable, and it never really feels like it creates a cohesive universe. And I thought this episode, you know, that's a small detail, but, like, other things too, like having the Cybermen and having, you know, some of these things, you know, running around and stuff worked so well. Even a Shielder by herself, like keeping her around a little bit.
I think this whole season we finally capitalized at least a little bit on acknowledging previous Monsters of the Week, right? Because we had the last episode, they had the, there was the storage area, and there was the, one of the masks from the, one of the previous monsters earlier in this season was out there, so that was kind of cool. But yeah, they've been doing a little bit better job of acknowledging it this year.
Yeah, for sure, you know, for sure. I mean, as far as it goes, though, just like, yeah, no, it was a fine episode. Like, it was okay. It was, you know, it was her departure. I thought the departure felt okay. Like, I thought, like, her turning to face them and everything like that. And, like, her final little bit about, like, yo, don't take revenge out on these people, because, like, I have just spent the last two seasons trying to fix you. And, like, don't fucking undo all that in this, like, the kind of the idea of, like, oh, shit, like, I'm not going to be there to, you know, make sure that he's okay and make sure that he's, you know, doesn't lose it again.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it to happen this soon. Shit.
You know what's interesting is that, the moment that Clara dies, the cork seems to pop right off the top of the bottle. It's a completely different Doctor.
Well, I mean, you knew that was coming, right?
Yeah, like, you do, yeah. It reminds
he wasn't just going to be like Marshmallow and Sunshine after that.
Well, no, it reminds me of what happened during, like, Waters of Mars and that year of specials, when the Doctor became a completely different person. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's going to take place over these next three episodes.
Now I will say this for this episode is somebody today. I heard somebody say, like, how they thought this episode and this season were going to end, and I actually like their version of it much better, which is that I had heard, like, they said that they thought the Doctor was going to take the tattoo, the shade or whatever it is, and then, like, they said that it chases you anywhere in time and space, but obviously the Doctor's whole shtick is that he can run. You know, he runs and he goes and he leaves and he goes anywhere. So, like, they thought the shtick was going to be him. The last three episodes of this season were going to be, like, them doing whatever they need to do in the big thing, but we're going to have this, like, this essence of the Doctor on the run from this thing, like, kind of trying to run away from death as he tried to wrap things up, or Clara running from death with the Doctor or something like that. And I think that would have actually been a little bit more interesting. It would have been a lot less abrupt. I feel like if we had more time to soak in the idea that that Clara was going to die this season, and that, like, her actions had driven her to this point, instead of just, like, the every once in a while we're going to make a reference to the fact that Clara has almost a death wish, I guess. I think giving it more room to breathe would have been nicer, but, you know, the sudden thing works in its own way, you know, for the reasons that Sean listed. There you go.
You know, so, you know what's interesting is that all I heard, I just want to mention this a little bit about Clara, whatever you want to say. Leading up to this, and we briefly touched on the hype that the BBC brought up, One thing they kept saying, and now this is before we dive into to Marcus's thoughts, this is why I think that this isn't necessarily the end of this plot. The BBC kept almost forcing it down our throats that this is Clara's last episode. And this is where I think that this may be the end of Clara and maybe the birth of a different person or character or a different incarnation. It's almost like Clara's regenerating into something else, but this is Clara's last episode, maybe as a human, maybe something goes forward from here that she becomes something else. Because that's what it was. This is Clara's dying, Clara's last episode, and yet I believe that Jenna Coleman was actually contracted through, not to Christmas, but through the whole season, through every episode of the season. So I don't know if it shows up in the wiki or not that she's in it, but you know, so I wonder if that may be the case. I mean, how do you guys feel about this?
Yeah, the hybrid that we've had since the beginning.
Exactly, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Marcus, and I'm glad you're chiming in, because I think this is where the whole hybrid thing is going to pay off. And you brought it up, Stephen, just a second ago with the hybrid. So I think this is the moment, these last two episodes, where the whole Clara hybrid, and she's no longer Clara, now she's something else. But maybe that's where we leave her.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
This is a prediction, by the way, for me. Totally unfounded. I have no idea what's going to happen in these next episodes. But so, Marcus, you brought up the hybrid, and now I want to know your whole thoughts. Stephen, are you done, or were you with there? I mean, we'll just keep chiming in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just keep playing around with it. Yeah.
I think of a good flow this episode. So, Marcus, tell me, what were your thoughts on this? Because you've been silent but deadly, like a fart in church. So let's hear how you feel about this episode.
That was weird.
Yeah, that went off totally rails. Totally off rails.
Well, first of all, let me just say that when Capaldi is in full angry eyebrows mode, it makes for some incredibly interesting Doctor Who.
Yes.
That speaks to me, as it were, to a shielder, or whatever she wants to be called this week. That was just pure gorgeousness. The story, yeah, story borrows from so many different things. Is it Diagon Alley? Is it, was it Neverwhere?
Neverwhere.
It's interesting that it's the first time I've heard a Torchwood reference in Retcon.
Yes.
Quite like that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, it was nice they brought back the guy from last season, from one of the last season. The Doctor pulling out the cue cards again was always great.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I mean, this, they felt like a good culmination to the way Clara Oswald's been going this season, because since the death of Danny Pink, she's been fucking lunatic. She's been Death Wish.
Yeah.
She has totally falls to the wall. You know, it's like the one, you know, the first guy she ever really loved turned into an old guy, and she loves him in a different way. And then, you know, she gets into a relationship with this genuinely decent, flawed human being, and he gets taken from her. And I think it's a, you know, it's the recurring theme since the Doctor came back is that the Doctor creates soldiers. You know, it's been used by Davros. It's been used again by Danny Pink last year, where he said it's
you're good at
giving soldiers orders. And you know, this is what happens when, you know, they believe their own hype. Donna left, I think that was still the most tragic way to go, because as you guys said, I mean, you know, it was the amazing Donna that had built up over a season had been, you know, sent back to factory default of the gobbiest temp in Chiswick. So that felt like, wow, that is, you know, that's worse than a death. I mean, you know, because memory of her is now kind of sullied. But yeah, it felt great. I mean, it not felt great. I mean, I got home after a night of eating and drinking with my old friend Matt Frary, who was in town for a wedding. We had a wedding to go to on Sunday, and I watched after several large scotches, and I, you know, I got misty eyed because we were saying goodbye to this character who is, you know, she's probably, outside Sarah Jane Smith, she's one of the few companions who has been, you know, come into contact with four different iterations of the Doctor.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, yeah.
In
Day of the Doctor, she met Tennant, Smith, and the War Doctor, and then she had Capaldi. So, I mean, she's seen all these different versions of the Doctor, and, you know, that's huge for any companion. I don't, like I said, apart from Sarah Jane and, you know, the fact that she was in some of the 25th anniversary stuff, I think, that was about it. But, yeah, it was a great way to go. I mean, you know, she wanted to, I could have done a little bit without her speech of fame, because no disrespect to the actress, but she's not in Capaldi's league.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, few people are. But yeah, I mean, you know, she wanted to be brave. She didn't want to cry. I mean, it was, you know, the Danny Pink factor came in. And do I think we've seen the end of her? No. I would actually be okay if we didn't see her again. One of the things that was supposed to be, you know, Billy Piper was supposed to be gone. She kept on coming back like a fart after a bad curry. We're on the fart theme tonight. you know, Donna Noble was supposed to be gone, and then she was brought back, and it wasn't quite the Donna, you know, it didn't feel comfortable. Every time Martha Jones appeared, I was like, oh, God.
Even from the very beginning.
And then she got the ending she deserved by marrying Mickey Smith. I mean, the only time I think that, you know, the handling of a companion coming back in any way, shape, or form was the delusion at the end of Matt Smith's run, where Karen Gillan appears as Amy Pond, and, you know, in the TARDIS, it's before he regenerates. And that was obviously, you know, his, you know, like a vision in his head. So
yeah, it was a very different thing.
Yeah. That's the only time I think it's been handled pretty well. Apart from obviously Sarah Jane Smith, who came back for, you know, a couple of episodes, and she could have been a permanent companion as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, I just let her be dead.
You know what? You bring up a great point about letting her be dead. If this is her last episode, it may not be the end of her story, and because her story is these final three episodes. It's the Doctor now. Her story is transferred to the Doctor enacting his revenge, so to speak. Obviously we have his last will and testament is in that little medallion. We have the whole hybrid thing. So her story could still be ongoing, because that sets off whatever's going to happen over these next two episodes. So you may be right. She may be dead, but her story will kind of continues, right?
So that's the $64 million question. What the fuck is her story? She's mm-hmm. the girl who, you know, the impossible girl, the girl who is in and out of the timeline, the girl who was created because a leaf fell into somebody's face. And all the, you know, if we're going to carry on this story, can we end it? Can we end it properly? Can we tie up? Because again, she's been in his timeline. How long before, you know, if she dies, how long before she comes back as somebody else?
Right.
Sure.
She's done that before. She
regenerates,
This is her third time of coming back, if you think about it. Christmas special, then the Asylum of the Daleks, and then as Clara Oswald proper. But, you know.
Did we ever get an explanation for how she ended up as a Dalek? Did we ever get that explanation?
She was just like in his timeline.
Okay, so it's just somehow in his timeline. Okay.
Yeah.
Which
is also...
And we never figured out how they got out of that timeline. And, I mean, again, standard Moffat can start a story, can't finish it to save his life. if we're going, you know, I would rather say Stone Cold dead, boom, finished. Mm-hmm. It's gone.
Let's have Dark Doctor for two episodes before we get into Christmas special, because River Song's coming back in the Christmas special. He's another one who keeps on repeating an episode of Star Trek on BBC America.
River Song is very different right now, and I hate to say it, but physically she's very different because she has aged, obviously, a few years, and her body has changed. And I don't know if you guys have watched Arrow recently, but she looks different than how she did when she was kind of in her prime, so to speak, on the show. So it'll be interesting to see.
She was years ago. I mean, you know,
yes, yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah.
The only one who hasn't really changed in that 10 years is John Barrowman. So I think he's done a good.
He is immortal, actually.
Yeah, I mean, this is so it's gonna will be interesting, but I don't want to see a hybrid of Clara. I mean, we know she's gone anyway, and she's left the series to go off and play Queen Victoria in another series or whatever. Great for her, but if she is this hybrid character, that totally nixes that potential storyline stone dead, because she's in it for two episodes and then the character's gone again.
Mm-hmm. That's true, right? Right. So
what I want to see is the next two episodes. Who's behind it? Who's playing the long con, the long game, if you will? I hope to God it's not Daleks. I hope to God it's not Missy.
We already know that she's in this next two episodes, right?
We don't know.
I've been stepping away from reading.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
We haven't been looking into it at all, so I don't know.
Yeah,
Interesting thing with the amount of information the BBC is putting out there as official descriptions. I mean, I kind of hope you guys haven't read the episode synopsis, but good. Stay away, because there's some intense spoilery shit in there, if I'm going to be blunt, and I'm actually really surprised about it. Unless, of course, it's a red herring and Moffat's going to swerve everybody. But
In our little chat off to the side in our Google Hangout here, that's what I read. It is pretty spoilery, but it could be total red herring, whatever. But I'm at the point now where I'm saying shame on BBC for spoiling episodes.
It's a discussion worth having, because it applies to the whole Clara send off and telling us when it was going to happen. It applies to how they've been describing their episodes. It applies to the descriptions of the finale, and it's debatable whether or not they're doing harm to their own show or whatever. I get, probably from their perspective, if their overnights are down and they still care about those numbers and they want to get more viewers tuning in, so you hype up the departure of a, multi-year companion. But I don't know. I miss, surprises. I miss not knowing exactly when things are going to happen.
Right.
It's not that I go out and hunt for, the most super spoilery stuff. But at the same time, even reading vague episode descriptions, I feel like it should still be safe enough without telling me something huge is coming. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, well, I think this is the BBC marketing department or the Doctor Who marketing department need to learn a trick. And it's simply quality over quantity when it comes to the PR and marketing. That's the way any half-decent PR person will look at it. Any PR person that says to you, well, we'll get this blasted out far and wide and everybody will do this and we'll get all these, these mentions and we'll give away this. This is it's like you're giving away too much of the story. I mean, I wanted to watch the Creed movie, but then I saw the trailer and I've seen the entire fucking movie.
That is like an increasingly just not even with Doctor Who or like movies or TV, but that is just an increasing problem depending on how you feel about it, I guess. But that's just an increasing thing in the world. I remember when Amazing Spider-Man, the very first Amazing Spider-Man came out, somebody cut together a version of the movie just from trailer footage. And it was like an hour long, and it basically told you what happened in the movie.
We're getting to that point with Star Wars. So somebody did that with Star Wars recently.
Oh, yeah, I had to cut myself off.
Yep. Sorry, go ahead, Marcus.
No, I was going to say, I mean, it's because most people have the attention span nowadays, but yeah, it is bad. But
were you satisfied, Marcus, you have a long history with Doctor Who and companions, and were you satisfied that this is it with Clara? Was she kind of as a whole a companion? And how her story started and how it ended, was it satisfactory to you? Did it go on too long? The reason I'm asking is because Modern Who, 2005. The companions that have been on the most episodes. So Amy Pond, 31 episodes. Clara Oswald, 31 episodes with Faith the Raven. So they've both been on equal amounts of episodes, which is wild to think, because it seemed like Amy
she'll get more. She'll get more, even if it's a passing reference or a ghost or something. She'll get more. She's gonna be. I think she's gonna beat Amy's number.
You think so?
I think satisfying is not a word you can apply to the Clara Oswald arc.
Okay.
Because of everything I've said, because of this incredibly insult-filled, interesting concept that they came up with and then totally pissed away without ever explaining. And it's not as if we're not explaining it to the mystique. It's like, you're not explaining it because, and we need an explanation. We need some sort of closure. So from that aspect, it's been incredibly unsatisfying. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with Jenna Coleman. I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, she doesn't really do much but look pretty and blah, blah, blah. I think she's had to deal with some of the worst writing ever. And I lived through the Bonnie Langford era. she has suffered, and I think she's struggled.
I think she's done absolutely wonderful for what she's been given. Especially last season, where she basically had to carry that fucking show while Capaldi tried to figure out what he was doing.
You know, I think more than anybody else, I totally agree, Steven. I think more than any of the other recent companions, her career is going to skyrocket from here on out. Yeah, obviously, Karen is in movies. She was in Guardians of the Galaxy, and she's starting to make a name for herself too. But I think just from Clara's standpoint and the way she had her FaceTime, the way that she interacted with the Doctor and kind of this really pivotal part of Doctor Who with the 50th anniversary and so on, I think her career beyond Doctor Who is really just starting. And you mentioned it, Marcus, with she's going to be the queen in a miniseries or TV series, and it's just going to go on from there. So she dealt with a lot. I think she was handed a very rough deck of cards, but she managed to at least keep her head above water with a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, she's played three different versions of Clara, and then one of those versions has been, again, subset off into three different versions. If you think about, final year with Chin, Matt Smith, and then the first year with Capaldi, and now this one. So, I mean, she obviously is a very talented actress. So, again, that's why I'm like, cut it off now. And I think it's probably born more of hope than anything, that all the pointers in this, they basically push, they push to the involvement of a Time Lord. And I hope, against hope, it's not missing, but asking for the Last Will and Testament, which, again, not many people know about with regards to the Time it's secret. And if anybody beyond the Time Lords know of this secret, well, it's a pretty shitty secret.
Yeah.
The idea of the Shade, it's like Time Lord technology, because anything that can travel through space and time is generally, you can track back to Gallifrey. The next thing, the idea of a village, the trap street, as it were, a built-in chameleon circle.
The points do lead to Gallifrey at some point. That is a plot thread that they have been sitting on for a while, and you would hope that they wouldn't just keep it dangling forever.
Yeah.
Bracelet looks like it could be Time Lord Tech 2.
The what?
The bracelet that they slap on his wrist.
Yeah.
With you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
They zoomed in on that, and it looked like, this might be me reaching a little bit, but it looked like it could have been Gallifreyan writing.
Yeah, this sort of pushes me away from the whole Dalek thing, is that they didn't say trans, because the transmat beam is the Dalek terminology.
Right.
The idea of another Time Lord cutting a deal with a Shielder, providing this technology,
Because we know that there are wrecked TARDISes all over the place. We know that. So somebody could have gotten cannibalized the TARDIS. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
For a supposedly hidden street, it was pretty freaking big. Because it had houses and everything. People would miss that out. You know, people would notice that much. We're not in the realm of magic. But if we're looking at the realm of dimensional technology, you walk into that particular area, and it, you know, that could be a cannibalized TARDIS. I mean, this is obviously right. more interesting than anything Moffat's going to come up with next week. But you know, that's what we do. But I hope. I mean, you know, is it Rassilon? You know, sure. can we you know, is it Omega? I mean, because when the Time Lord came back, and they're out there somewhere. All the Time Lords come back, not just Missy.
Right.
It can't be Omega. He's too busy fighting K-9 in his own
in his own movie. You know,
it would be interesting if this is somehow leading all to a return of the Time Lords, not just one or two, but everything. And I would be very curious to see why they would need to do this sort of trap and, you know, death of Clara and everything, because you know, they helped him, right? I mean, there's this thread now from the end of Smith's run, right, where they're the reason why Capaldi even exists. So I'm very curious if this is all leading towards something like that. I'm curious.
More than that, like, he wants to find them. Like, why would they need to drag him to them? Like, because he wants to be there.
Maybe now that losing Clara was kind of the final call to say, hey, I'm going full forward with this.
It's interesting too, because that really does, I mean, I feel like a lot of people are excited about the possibility of bringing them back, but everything we know about them and what happened throughout the war and what they became and everything, I mean, I hope if they wind up going down this path and they do return them to the universe at either now or later, I hope they know what they're doing, and the current showrunners and team are prepared to deal with the fact that these are not, you know, these aren't the Time Lords of the old series, right? I mean, these are some really, really, really bad people. And I don't know. I hope it's not like they just show up and it's just like, okay, well, Time Lords are back. Yay.
So I wanted to touch on one more thing, and that's a shielder, right? So Maisie Williams, whatever you want to call her this episode, out of the three episodes that she's been in, I felt as though this was maybe the best one out of all of them. And she was essentially the Grim Reaper. She was a judge, jury, and executioner, right? And she had the Shade, which was actually kind of terrifying to hear this raven cawing every few minutes outside. You know it's hunting for you. And I had my doubts based on her first two showings. And it was the whole weird lion episode was kind of interesting, her character there. But I think this episode was really – her character was really well done, and she nailed the acting. She had a little bit of that Missy flair to her when you kind of think about it, right? Because she was – there were parts where she was complimentary of Clara, like, right? Because obviously she still has a human-sized brain and a human amount of memory, so she can't – contain a thousand plus years of memory. So she's reading these books that she wrote of these events to kind of keep herself up to date. She goes, oh, Clara, yeah, you're lovely. I've read all about you. Clara's like, but I've met you. She goes, yeah, I read all about you, but whatever. So I do think this episode, she was really, really at her peak, I think, for the show. And if this is the last we see of her, which I'm almost hopeful because it is kind of wearing out now. I do think Maisie Williams was – the upswing was really well done for her throughout this season. So, I was actually pleasantly surprised by her character this episode. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I'd like to shift the conversation to her a little bit.
I'm in agreement. I think you pretty much nailed it from how I feel about it. I think that she needs to go away for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just risking it, I'm starting to see and read that other people are kind of tired of it. But I think she could be, like, they've planted these seeds now where if she came back in a season or two, I think it could be an interesting and compelling thing. But
yeah,
three episodes in one season, that's fine. Like, that's fine. Like, you, especially this one, you're good now. Take a break. Don't Moffat the character.
I mean, they kind of can't to an extent, like, because Maisie Williams has a multi-million dollar TV show that she is one of the main characters on, and also, like, this is a character who is played by a very young actress who is supposed to be an ageless character who cannot, in the real world, remain ageless for super long.
I think she's got a while before, you know, she starts showing any cracks.
She's looked exactly the same for six seasons of Game of Thrones, so...
But no, I'm in agreement, and I will. I don't know if I necessarily agree with your comparison to Missy.
No, I didn't see that at all either.
I felt like this, if anything, it was more of a human sort of thing with Clara, where this girl thinks she's, you know, she's lived all this time with a finite memory or whatever, and she knows all this stuff, and she's a foil or keeping the doctor in check, and she thinks she's in control of this situation. And winds up pretty much bungling it and just being a patsy for whoever we find out she's working for. So I don't give her that kind of credit. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with, you know, finding out that she thinks she's one thing and winds up being another, which is basically a tool, and, you know, leading to somebody's death. But I don't think she's this. I don't think she's more the Missy type at all.
Sure. Okay. Well, let's. Any final thoughts about this episode? Next episode, obviously, we have two left. During
well, Marcus, what do you, Marcus or Steve? You guys have any other thoughts, or are you kind of in agreement with?
I mean, the things I don't agree with, I've pointed out that I don't agree with them. So, no problems there.
Well, I meant on May or Me or whatever. We were just rapping.
No, like that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think she's like Missy at all. Like, none of that stuff. I agree with the idea of her being kind of a patsy type thing. Although, like, I don't necessarily know that they... Again, it's just, like, it's a lot of... And this has kind of been a thing that's really bugged me about, like, the Moffat era in general. It's a lot of, like, show... Or a lot of tell-don't-show with, like, the idea that she is, like, this... You know, like, she clearly has some kind... Like, she's clearly competent because she's able to, like... Every era that we've seen her in, you know, or since she got her immortality or whatever... She has created some kind of weird empire for herself, yet every time she also seems to be, like you said, like somebody's flunky. She seems to be some like working for somebody else in reality, and like does, and maybe you can pull that from like the fact that she doesn't remember, you know, or like her past mistakes, and she keeps repeating them over and over. Maybe that's the case, but I would like to see her. Like we keep seeing the results of her labor, but we never actually see her do anything that clever. We just, the show is just there to say like, oh wait, no, she's actually like really a viable threat. Trust us. Cause she was able to do all this. We're not going to show you, but trust us. She did it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I'm pretty much done. I mean, because now the longer it goes on, the more it's, I'm just feel like I'm watching the character from Game of Thrones out of time.
And we don't want this to become like River Song, where she just appears constantly. And
well, I mean, Maisie Williams, again, bright future. She's a, you know, young lass. Yeah. I just don't think she has perhaps the range right now. I mean, you look at Capaldi. I mean, obviously being 50 million years older, he has, he can't. You know, he has the range, and I think she is just becoming incredibly irksome, and it's hopefully we can retire her for now and bring her back. But again, it's just this idea of this immortal character who is just being overexposed.
Any final thoughts about this episode? I'm gonna start reading some of the comments from our listeners. Any final
well,
thoughts?
Let's bring those in first, and then we can all recap how we feel.
That sounds good.
And we can respond to them too. So.
Well, let's. I'm gonna dive in with a good friend, good listener, Alan Paxton, who says, "How to talk about this episode without spoilers? Can't even begin to reconcile that ending. Surely a misdirect as Moffat hashtag Moffat lies. In short, a strong premise with excellent performances all around. But props to Capaldi again for his display of quiet rage." I can't wait to see where this idea goes. The season is truly making up for the last. May the excellent stories continue. He says, final thought, I hurt at this episode as I did watching the Dark Archive scene 2 weeks ago. Please keep up the great work. I agree. This this season has definitely made up for last season. Say Utile, which is at CESTUTILE, says, the best and yet saddest episode of the Capaldi era. Mark Griffiths at the RP Genius writes, I thought it was great. I liked the idea of the hidden streets, and while she wasn't the worst companion, I'm kind of happy to see the back of Clara. And I also really like an angry doctor, and Capaldi does it especially well, 4 out of 5. I don't think he means Clara's back. I think he means the end of Clara.
Crazy.
Yeah. Fancy Manatee at MP Dorian writes, we saw Clara do increasingly reckless things this season, and seeing her face the consequences was only fitting. I'm sad to see her go, but it was an appropriate end for her. Also, the doctor, full of rage and fire, is a great use of Capaldi. Yeah, that recklessness, again, they reference it several times at the beginning of the episode, right? She's hanging out the side of the TARDIS with the sonic sunglasses staring at London, looking for this hidden street. I mean, any normal human would be terrified with that going on. I mean, she's not even held on. She's just gleefully giggling as she's flying around. So yeah,
that seems both weird to me, because like the doctor's like shaking his head at it. It was like, oh, Clara's being dangerous again. It's like, you literally put her in a situation where she is hanging out the side of this fucking thing with the harness. It's like, why is this like her being how is this her being weird when
she can say no, man? I mean, you know, that, and it was an interesting little nod to the Matt Smith 50th. Where he was hanging out, right?
Yeah.
But she could say no, and that's been the build. That's been the rub. Is she could say no, and she could be like, "This is crazy. I don't want to do that." But she doesn't. She's just like, "Sure, I'll put my head out there." And then, now the TARDIS accidentally tilts. Ha! Who cares? I'm hanging. This is awesome.
But then,
the
doctor doesn't have the right to say like, "Oh, I disapprove of this." Like yes, she can say no, but like his whole shtick is like, "Oh, this is."
Yeah, but his problem was that it wasn't that. She was willing to take the risk. The problem was she didn't care that the risk almost ended her. You know, like Riggsy says, she enjoyed that way too much. And the doctor's like, it's an ongoing problem. So it's not that he shouldn't chastise her for doing it. It's the problem that like he's trying to point out to her something's wrong with her reactions to when things could potentially kill her. And she's just like, I'm fine, everything's fine, you'll save me, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you make the comparison to like him hanging out of the TARDIS when he was in that situation. He did the same damn thing. Like he was cheering and like having fun with it and not going that like not thinking like, oh no, this is dangerous and I'm scared.
It's not necessarily that he was enjoying it. I don't necessarily believe
he was like cheering and like going like wahoo and shit, wasn't he? Like I could have
sworn. I don't think so. I think he
Geronimo.
No, I don't think that was a Geronimo moment.
But, no Geronimo, but there was
definitely Geronimo. I think it was more something he did recklessly, and then she saw it and wanted to... I don't necessarily know if she was thinking it, but in terms of the narrative nod to what had happened in the 50s, it's a noticeable kind of homage to the influence of 11, I guess you could say. Sure. But and then something somebody brought up I wanted to touch on real quick. I don't know if we've really given it proper due, but the amount of acting Capaldi can do just with his eyes is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable. And Marcus, you kind of touched on this a little bit in just how stellar he is and how he's acting circles around everybody on the set with him. But it was just unreal. Like watching him to go from realizing what's happening to trying to process it to then trying to doctor his way out of it to then the rage and the sadness and the fear and the helplessness. And most of that was before he was even starting to rant. And then it happened in between the rants. And his face when she finally gets the shade in the alley, like, holy shit. Holy shit. Like, that is it's second to none. Like, it's unbelievably good. And he's just such a phenomenal actor. And I know we touch on this every week, but I feel like every time we say he's amazing and can't get any better, then the next week he does something that just blows everything else he's done away. Like, it's phenomenal. It's just unreal how good he is. And he is so comfortable in the role now, and he really has made the doctor his own take on it. Like it's just so good. It's just such a pleasure to watch, you know.
Most definitely the eyebrows were certainly the best addition to the Doctor Who character in a long time. Just again, you're right, the facial expressions, things he can do that we haven't seen from doctors in a long time, and he's been phenomenal. And you know, I'm looking forward to at least one more year with him, just from that standpoint. At Mike Zero, our good friend Mike Zero says, Clara's exit had its highs and lows. It was a bit underwhelming. What happened to Sam the Swift? I agree with it. We have another immortal person running around Earth.
We don't know if she gave it to him.
Supposedly she did, remember? Didn't she give it to him at the end of that?
Did she bring him back?
Yeah, that's how they brought him back to life after the. That's how they saved the. There's closed the portal, was giving it to him to bring him back to life.
He also says, I felt we should have seen her life flash before her with the various incarnations of Clara meeting their demise as well. That was, I think a few folks mentioned that they would love to see a little bit more. Annalie Sorensen at sublevel 28 writes, great episode, but I'm just heartbroken right now. Actual pain. And I did hear that a lot. I saw a lot of people tweeting that they were actually, and Sean, you mentioned it, the feels hit them. You know, this is the end of Clara. Now it's finally hitting us. Yeah, we knew it was coming. We all read the news before the season started, but it's actually happening now. And I think when it finally hits you in the face, like, oh crap, this is actually happening. It really can, it amplifies it that much more. Portia Camille, who actually won our contest a few weeks back, says, cannot wait to hear all of your guys' opinions on this one. So many thoughts, so little space on Twitter. She says, the episode overall, I really liked. The hidden streets were pretty cool, very creative. I totally agree. I love that, the trap street. I thought that was phenomenal. It was a great idea. Clara's exit, even though I was crying like a baby, I thought was a very underwhelming. She deserved more. Sorry, I can't stop. She sent us a lot of tweets. I just cannot believe that as bad a hard-on as Moff has for Clara, he didn't make the doctor make more of a fuss over her exit. Although it was a good scene, and I personally liked it, I just did not see they letting her go like that so easily. Okay, I'm done now, I promise. Yeah, I feel like that as well. They just kind of let her go.
Well, but so two things. One, like we talked about earlier, he didn't really have time for anything else. So I don't think we're done seeing him kind of deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also really curious, this notion of she deserved better. I don't necessarily disagree, but I'm very curious what people mean by that. I mean, does that mean that she deserved to walk off into the sunset or find a new daddy pink or lead? Like, what did she deserve that she didn't get, you know?
Great question.
I think it's a case of what people are so used to, given this new episode, this new season, you know, reboot of Who or whatever, you know, new Who. They're used to every finale being a 15-episode arc where, you know, the only thing that's missing is a bunch of flowers and a curtain call.
Yeah.
Where in the previous seasons, before that, it was a case of dead, gone, move on, little bit, you know, tortured or whatever. And, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, you don't get to say all these – I mean, she had more – she had more time than most. I mean, she had what?
Oh yeah.
3 or 4 minutes to say goodbye to the doctor. It's obvious from the, you know, the lack of family this time around that she hasn't really spent time with her family or really interacted with them anyway. So she was where she wanted to be by his side, and you know, it would have probably been, honestly, it would have been better for me if she'd have said the goodbye, boom, gone, really sudden, and then he could have had his, you know, speech to Ishilda without the, you know, don't be, you know, be brave, don't be that doctor, blah, blah, blah. Because I would, you know, I would like to see that doctor. Thank you very much.
Yeah. That Raven did take a while to get to her, huh?
Yeah, it did. It was a long, yeah, she probably could have hopped in the time.
I get stopped for a smoke.
TARDIS at that point. at Kostich, who renamed himself Happy Thanksgiving for this week, says, much better than the previous episode. Capaldi was brilliant in his subtlety. Clara's story was poorly written. I shed no tear. Sayutil again writes, adults complaining about Doctor Who, bear in mind, it's still a kids program and needs to be on a level they can comprehend. And we've talked about this for a while, that it is written as a kids program, yet because of the time that it's being played at BBC, a lot of the kids can be asleep. Right? It starts at, what is it, like 9 o'clock? 8 o'clock on BBC?
Yeah.
Somewhere on there. So it is prime time. So, yeah, it's just something to bear in mind. Let's see here. Okay, we got our good friend Postmodern Dad says, okay, says, I thought a shielder, he wrote a lot as well, I thought a shielder could remove the death mark or whatever it is called. Two ways to get past it, pass it on or have it removed. This is a great point, another great point by another wonderful listener. Why didn't a shielder just put the death mark on herself? I mean, couldn't that have been a sort of great ending to her character? Because she's immortal. She keeps forgetting what it's like to be human, but she could have put that death mark back on herself. Maybe she couldn't. Maybe I know they kind of mention it, but...
No, she couldn't. It would have had to have come... I don't know. First of all, I don't know if you can even pass it on twice, but second, that would have had to come from Clara. Clara would have had to give it to her.
Yeah.
And once Clara got it from Rinzi, the whole contract changed. So pretty much no one, as I understood it, had any power left over that thing.
The rules of that thing were not as well explained exactly as they should have been.
Yeah. He also writes, the emotion of Clara's leaving felt so forced and drawn out. Not that it was a bad way for her to go, just maudlin. I agree. I like that it was sudden, but I think it there were some awkward moments there. Just how long was that last minute of her life anyway? There's the Raven took forever. Overall, a good episode. I would have preferred Craig instead of Rigsy. And what does this all imply about the Danny Pink descendant Orson from last season's Listen? He says, oh, wait, Listen was written by Moffat, so it means nothing because there will never be any real resolution or explanation. Brilliantly done.
I've been thinking about that Danny Pink thing. It's really kind of...
It's gonna get explained like every fucking Stephen Moffat thing gets explained. It's never, ever going to be touched on in the show again. And then 4 years from now, Stephen Moffat, when he's still running the show, is going to do an interview and he's going to say, like, oh, yes, like, that thing that we never had touched on in the show, I'm going to explain it to you right now. And it'll just... Because everybody sees this, don't they?
Oh, I was thinking
he does everything.
The maybe answer is, you know, and this is just for my own sanity because that drives me crazy too, that plot thread. Maybe because she loved him or was obsessed with him or whatever, the TARDIS focused on him instead of her, but then, you know, he had a brother or a cousin or someone somewhere. It's his family line instead of her. Moffat didn't know how they were going to end, and he wrote himself into a corner, which was probably much more likely, but it's not impossible to explain away. It's just annoying that they kind of let it hang.
Yeah, the actor who plays Danny Pink is going to be a companion in 6 years, and then they're going to explain that like he is the cousin, he's the cousin's second brother's son of Danny Pink. And
I would be fine with him being a companion. Danny Pink as a companion would be awesome.
Danny Pink. It's going to be the actor who played Danny Pink playing a different character who is like the third cousin of Danny Pink, or of Danny Pink's brother.
Let's throw out this question then to the listeners. So here's question of the week, and this is revolving Clara's end. What were you expecting from Clara's final moments? So that's the question. What were you expecting from Clara's final moments? Was it this very abrupt ending? What were you expecting? Something much bigger? Were you expecting planets exploding or the TARDIS, you know, erupting or imploding? Let us know at Lonely TARDIS. Final thoughts, gentlemen, before we move on?
No.
Well done, Stephen. I think we did say our piece, yeah.
I mean, you know, she's done her time. She's, you know, let her rest in peace now. I mean, you know, wherever, whatever she is, because if it comes to next week and we find out that the, cosmic shade or whatever it is, it's more than another version of a teleportation device that leaves a clone, I will be mightily pissed by that. So let's just, it was nice, that, you know, RIP. Yeah, move on. Let's go and see Dr. Beyond Nasty Arsehole.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement, and I think... You know, I think Marcus said it earlier, she's done well enough with some questionable / shoddy material over the years. And I thought her ending was good, especially in New Who, which you just don't see that happen. And I think, you know, some people say they had the feel, some people don't. I think it depends a lot on, you know, who's watching it, where you are, and, you know, what you've experienced and how you just process this stuff, whether it's Doctor Who or anywhere else, right? So... That said, I just don't. I I don't want her to come back as anything more than, you know, something that had been previously explained. Like, if, you know, she obviously, assuming it's stuck, she fractured herself, went in his timeline, she exists all throughout his personal history. So if they wind up, you know, she winds up being some sort of, like, what do you call it, echo or whatever, somewhere else, and doesn't know him or recognize him or whatever, because let's say she's chilling in the fourth Doctor or eighth Doctor's timeline, whatever. That's fine, but don't bring her back. Don't bring Clara Prime back. Don't turn her into the hybrid. Don't turn her into some weird plot device to further the ending of this. Like, just like Marcus said, just let her rest. You know, let this death mean something, and let the Doctor evolve from it in a way that everybody wants to see. So.
Okay. I still think that she's Doctor's going to turn her into a Time Lord and regenerate her, but we'll see. with that said, that's basically it. Marcus, do we want to choose the winner this week or wait till after the holiday?
No, I want to give everybody one more week because okay. No offense to those who've, you know, those, I think, two people who maybe put in. I mean, this is, you know, this is, it's not a cheap prize. There is definitely, you know, this is a $100+ value. So, I would like to, you know, give everybody one last try to get this right.
My goal, I'm going to get this set up. My goal is to get tons of entries into, for this contest. So I also, sorry to the few folks that have replied to Marcus, but we obviously want to see a lot more. It did cost a lot of money. And Marcus going out of his way to supply this to a winner. So we'll get that. I think it's on all of us individually, team, to tweet out about this. So we'll get on it. And if you're listening, please, again, the way to win this amazing Doctor Who door TARDIS door cling, which does look freaking awesome. I've tweeted it out from the Lonely TARDIS account, is you have to tweet at Marcus, at Annoyed Gamer, with your favorite Tom Baker episode. So that's it.
Feel free to do it over a couple of tweets, and let me know why as well, because there's one of the things I don't want to happen is somebody just get all snarky in Wikipedia on me and turn around and say, well, you know, I'll just pick this one. I mean, you know,
right.
I want to know why you liked it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we might have to just, we'll save it or whatever. But I really would like to get rid of this to a deserving home.
Definitely, definitely. And it would be a wonderful prize and gift for the holidays. So with that said, we're wrapping up the show for this week. Thank you all for listening to us while you were eating your turkey dinners. I think at this point right now, you're just diving into the apple pie or the pumpkin pie. So that's that clinking noise that you may have been hearing throughout this episode is us doing our timey-wimey thing. We've been in your room this whole time listening to you listen to us.
What?
What?
I don't know.
Anyway, Dolly, yeah. What would you rate this episode?
I'm going to give this episode...
out of five shades or something.
Ooh, I like that. Five raven shades. I'm going to give this a 3.5 out of five raven shades. I liked it. Thought the ending wasn't as pleasing, but overall I enjoyed it. How about you, Steven?
3, just because I think it's a solid episode that just doesn't have like the proper kind of buildup that it really needed, not in the way that it should have had. But it has a lot of really good ideas.
Sure. Why don't you pass the torch to someone?
I'm gonna give
that guy.
I'm gonna give it 4.5.
Wow.
And I will say that, as usual, there's a caveat, but there's again a 4.5 because of that Capaldi magnificence, which was just outstanding as far as I'm concerned. But then, obviously, the caveat is if we still have, if this is a false flag death, as you will, I will redact that down to a half, and that's only, again, getting a half because of Capaldi's amazing speech. Is this that, he's done a couple of those this season, and they've been every time.
Sean,
You're the last. I'm in 100% agreement. 4.5, reserving the right to change it if they screw it up with the follow-up. Like I said, it's part one of a three-part finale, so I hope they keep what they've done, because I think what they've done is really good and really different for New Who, and Capaldi was just a beast and just brilliant. So,
you know,
100% agreed, 4.5.
It's been hard to rate individual episodes because they've all been part of two or three-parters, right?
Sure.
I think maybe at the end of this season, once the kind of the main part of the season is wrapped up, we can spend the week maybe a week discussing our favorite Christmas episodes, and then a week discussing just the season overall and rating these individual arcs. That could be kind of interesting.
And we could talk about what we want next from a companion.
Yes, definitely.
I like that idea, definitely.
Give us a ginger companion again. That would be fantastic.
It's too soon.
Or a dude. Or maybe not a 20th century Earth woman.
That's true. Yeah, there you go.
Anyway.
For another time. Please visit us at lonelytardis.com. Download, share. Oh, that's a ding by someone. So that means the timer is up. Download, share, tweet to your friends. Let everybody know about the Lonely Tardis podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on podcast.com. Coming soon, fingers crossed, to Spotify. So that's in the works.
Cool.
So yeah, you'll be finding us in much more places. And follow us on Twitter at Lonely Tardis. At Lonely Tardis. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky. You can find Marcus
playing Fallout 4.
Yeah. Yes. At Annoyed Gamer.
Sure.
Oh, sorry. What? Hey? No, I'm playing Fallout 4 now.
All right. Where can we find you, Sean?
At Sean Norton, SHAUNNORTON.
And Steven?
You can find me at Steven Strom, STEVENSTROM. And all those places that I tell you that you can find me every week, but that now officially includes IGN, and I've written a few things for them now.
Beautiful, beautiful. And we'll see you guys on the next Lonely TARDIS. Hopefully happier.
Happy American Thanksgiving, and if it's Canadian Thanksgiving as well, happy whatever.
Happy Thursday, Canada.
We're sorry as an American, we're sorry about Thanksgiving. There you go. That's how I celebrate Thanksgiving.
Sing us out.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Cuckoo!